We're going to have a reading now. Nessia and Maya are going to come and read. Thank you very much.
Good morning. The reading is Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are the grass, and the grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust.
Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name, because of his great power and might, mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
And this ends the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. It's a passage of God encouraging to seek Him rather than things around about. And then it finishes with, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." We're looking today, thinking about not only Remembrance Sunday, but the Suffering Church. And I've been to many, many countries around the world where they are suffering. It is a struggle. I went to visit a pastor in Serbia. The weekend we went to see him. We were there on the Saturday and Sunday. On the Friday, the church had been bombed with petrol bombs, and the church was completely destroyed, and that was in the middle of Serbia. I've talked about Cuba, India, it's Pakistan, it is so hard to be a Christian. But one of the things that, as I've gone around the world talking to people in the suffering church, they have said, "We want to tell you, if your nation doesn't change its ways, you will be the next suffering church." And when I look at what we hear on television, you know, knife crime is at epidemic proportions. We're standing today and we're remembering people who lost their lives for our freedom, and our young people on London streets are killing each other. Something is going wrong with our nation. Something has to change. And to me, the only thing that can change is me and you, because we are the people of this nation. We're the people that God will use to change the community that we live in. I want to look for a little while at how God sees us. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. God created male and female. He created both." And so you are God's handiwork. God created you. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, it says that, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." If you had not been born, so God knew you from the beginning. And I dare to add that if you had not been born, God's master plan would not be complete, because He knew you before your mother's womb. A few facts about ourselves. There are 7.6 billion people on earth today. Not one of them shares your DNA. Your DNA is absolutely unique. There's no one like you. Your fingerprints, your iris, your voice pattern, absolutely unique. There's no one like you. That's why the banks can now have little machines where you put your eye to it, and only your eye will open it, because we are unique. David said, "For you," in Psalm 139, he said, "For you formed me in my inmost parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And so there's all these promises in the Bible of who we are in God. And as I read this, I started to ask myself a question. So why is it that I can sit in church on a Sunday and feel so worthless? Now, I don't know if anyone else ever feels like that, but sometimes things that have happened in the week, things that people have said, the put downs that people can just throw away glibly, but actually have an effect on us. And there's that feeling inside, you know, how could God possibly use me? You know, I'm nobody. And I know exactly what that's like. You know, we're bombarded as we look on our television screens with adverts on every part of our body is not right. There's not a part of our body that doesn't need some sort of cream or cosmetic or Botox or you name it. So that by the time you've sat and watched a few adverts and you go and look in the mirror, you're totally disgusted with what you see because it's nothing like what you... And so everything in the world is to make us feel not quite right. And yet God wants us to feel absolutely exactly how he wanted us to be. And if we as a body of Christians can start to act and be who Jesus made, who God created us to be, we can change the environment that we live in. It does take a positive effort. It means we've got to do something. And as I've talked to Christians in the persecuted church, one of the things that they all said the same: we never thought it would happen. We thought we were safe how we were. We just never realized it could change that quickly. And when you go to Bradford as a Christian pastor and decide to stand on the street corner and preach about Jesus, you'll be arrested. But if you're a Muslim and you go on the streets of Bradford to read the Quran, they will leave you alone. That is our country. That is what I don't understand it. We do very little about it, but little by little things are creeping into our nation. David Cameron stood up just before he resigned as Prime Minister and he said, "We are no longer a Christian nation." That's what our Prime Minister said. And so I look at the suffering church and they've had to get so close to God. What I would like as a nation is for us to get close to God before it happens, so that we stand up and are counted for Jesus. I started school as a 5-year-old boy and my mother had a wonderful idea that one of the first days in school, she gave me a bunch of flowers for the teacher. Any of you mums, do not give your kids a bunch of flowers. Bad idea. So I took this bunch of flowers to school. I hid them up my jumper any way I could to get them there, which nobody saw. And I managed to get in the class and they were there. And teacher said, put them in a vase, which I did. And I got to my seat and nobody saw. And it got away with it. But after about 10 minutes, the words I dreaded for the rest of my school life, I heard the words, "Sumner, come here." And so a little boy, I totter out to the front and she's holding the bunch of flowers and she said, "What are these?" "Flowers, miss." "And what are these?" "Elastic bands, miss." "What a stupid thing to do, to put the flowers in a vase with the elastic bands round it. I'm 5 years old, what do I know?" But the whole class are laughing. And the only word I heard was stupid. And so for the next few years, I became a stupid boy. That's what they thought I was. I'd live up to it. And I became teacher's nightmare until I went to secondary school and I wanted to learn French. That was something I desperately wanted to do. And after about a month in school, I wanted to know why our class was not learning French. And I was told, unfortunately, your level of class isn't clever enough to learn French. And anyway, you probably won't travel anywhere, you know, so there's no point teaching you French. So I became a nightmare in secondary school as well, because A, I was stupid in the first school, and now I'm not clever enough, and, you know, I'm not going to amount to much. And actually, I took it on board. What people said, I took on board. Until a time came when, early in my marriage, I was married at 23, and I realized that I had taken on board what people had said about me, and I wanted to know what God said about me. And in Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And I started to realize, I need to know more about God for me. You know, it's all right to go to church and listen, but I need to read this for myself. I need to find out what God says about me. In Philippians 4, 11 to 13, Paul writes, and then he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I started to realize it's not about me and what I do, but it's if I trust in God with all my heart. I'm no longer doing things in my strength. I'm doing it in His strength. In 1 John 4:4 it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." And I started to realize that actually, if I put my trust in God, God can use me. If I'm available. Then in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to destroy, to give you a future and a hope." And up until then, although I loved Jesus with all my heart, although I was actively involved in church, but I was going through the motions. It was, you know, I was trying as hard as I could. And then I suddenly realized that actually I have to trust in Him. And if we follow Him, He has our future in His hands. And what I realized is that God took a stupid boy and actually started to use him. And so I started to ask myself questions after a while. How come I'm standing in Cuba with this pastor, Hector Hunter, and he's sharing with me all that he went through, and I'm preaching in his church, and yet all through my school life I was told I wasn't clever enough, I wouldn't travel, and I was stupid? But you see, God didn't say that. That's what people say, and we have to get beyond what people say about us. You know, how did I come to be in Cambodia? Walking through the killing fields, going into Sol Seng, the concentration camp, where thousands and thousands of people lost their lives. Only 8 people ever survived coming out through that concentration camp. How did I get to the center of Africa? One of my boyhood heroes was David Livingstone. And I got all the books I could on David Livingstone, on his life. And I always used to think as a boy, oh, if only I could be like that. But of course, you know, they've told me in school I'm stupid, you know. But it was this boyhood dream. And I remember I was 39 years old. And I was in the center of Africa. We were preaching in a church on Sunday in a town called Tabora. And the pastor said, "Would you like to see where David Livingstone lived?" And I thought, oh, would I? Too right, I would. So he said, "Come on, jump in the car." It was about 1.5 miles away, and it was in the bush, and they'd built the house that David Livingstone lived in. They'd made it into a little museum, and I stood in this room, quiet, just on my own. My brother was with me, but I just stood on my own. And it was almost like God spoke to me and He said, "Remember those dreams you had as a 14-year-old boy, that one day you'd love to go where David Livingstone went, and you'd love to go walk in his steps? I heard you." And it didn't matter what the teachers said and what other people said, I had plans for you, and this is the these are part of the fulfillment of the plans. How did it happen? Because there's lots of promises in this book, and I dared to believe that what God said was real, and what people said to me, I could ignore, because what God says to me counts. But how do we get from feeling, can God use me in this country? Can God use me in this church? Can he use me in this town? Can we make a difference to where we live, that little by little across this nation we change? I think the secret is in the words we had read to us today. In Ephesians, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And how do we come into the presence of God? We come into the presence of God by reading the Word of God, by praying, by quietly spending time alone with him. As we heard earlier on in the children's talk, we share our secrets with him. I don't know about you, but I did a driving job. I worked in the Express and Echo for 30-odd years, made redundant, and I decided I wasn't going to do anything like that again. It was too dirty. I used to come home covered in ink, and so I decided I'd drive a white van for a part time, and that would do me. And I used to love it in that little white van. I used to set off and I would say, Lord, it's now you and me. And I would have a whale of a time. I would just talk to God, talk to Jesus, as if he was sat beside me, as if he was my closest friend. I shared everything with the Lord on my drives around the country. And I found it brought me so close. And in the quietness, I could hear the voice of it, just have communion with God. But so many of us are pulled back. We're held back by the fact that we think, do I really belong? Do I belong? 5 or 6 years ago, if Meghan Markle had decided to walk into the palace, she would have been thrown out. She was a Hollywood movie star who, my daughter tells me what program she was on. I haven't a clue, but she was a film star. You know, she was a TV star. Nothing to do with royalty whatsoever. She wouldn't have been allowed across the threshold. But today she's married the prince. Today she is married to the prince. She could. There's nowhere barred to her. She can go anywhere in Buckingham Palace because she's been adopted into the family. And you have been adopted. If you love Jesus, have accepted him as your Saviour. In Ephesians 1:5 it says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. You have been adopted into the family of God. You have every right to come before God. It tells us in the Word of God that we can boldly approach the throne of God. You know, in the old days, it was only the high priest that could go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on the cross, it says the curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom, so ordinary people like us can come before God and have communion and be with him. I want to encourage you to be who God wants you to be, that our nation does not become the next suffering church because the church is asleep. I want us to be awake. I want us to be aware of what's going on in the world, but what's going on in our world, in our nation. As I said earlier, there are 7.6 billion people on earth, and there is no one like you. You are totally unique. There's no dream that's too big for God. If you had told me when I was a boy that I would travel to over 50 countries, that I would sit in a vestry before I went out to preach and be told by the pastor, just be aware this morning, the secret police may be in, and if they come in, you will be arrested. Are you still happy to preach? That sort of focuses you as you stand at the front of what you're going to share. You know, that the secret police may well... If someone had told me as a boy that was going to... I wouldn't have believed them at all. But I had some big dreams. They used to tell me in school, the trouble is with you, you're a dreamer. You'll never get anywhere because you spend too much time dreaming. Well, I'm glad I dreamed, and I'm glad I shared those dreams with God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that's been my favourite verse most of my life. Trust in the Lord with all your life, with all your heart. You know, I was talking earlier, the verse, you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. I remember a few years ago going to a bird sanctuary, and they had some eagles there, and the eagle was on the perch, and there was a man at the other side with a gloved hand and a piece of meat, and the eagle flew from the perch to the man on the piece of meat. And then eventually that the eagle went back, and it sort of went so far, and then it flew, landed back on its perch again, and did that two or three times. And as I watched, that verse came into my mind, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle flies higher than any other bird. And so God wants you to fly higher than anyone else. He wants you to fly to the heights of what you can achieve in him. But you see, that bird could not fly high. It was tethered. And try as it might, as it flew back to its perch, just couldn't get away because of what people had said. We can be like that bird because of things that people have said. You're stupid. It holds you back. You're not clever enough. It holds you back. You'll never travel. It holds you back. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Is there something holding you back from being who God wants you to be? That we stand in this nation and say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I trust that this morning, as you've heard what I've shared with you this morning, that you'll pray for our nation. You'll pray that peace will come to our streets in London. You'll pray that God will be once again lifted up in this nation. That it won't be an embarrassment to say, I'm a Christian. That we'll be prepared to stand up, because in the suffering church, it costs them everything to be a Christian. They can lose their job, they can lose position. But you see, nurses in our hospitals today are not allowed to wear a cross. It's a symbol of Christianity. Little by little, there are things subtly creeping in. And when I talked to the suffering church, they said, that's how it started in our nation. Exactly the same. We didn't stand up. We let it go. And so what I trust this morning is that you will wait upon the Lord, and that you will mount up with wings as eagles, that the dreams you have in your heart will come to pass, and that you'll pray for our nation. So God bless you this morning. We'll sing to finish, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne." You know, at the end of the day, God is in control, but he does listen to our prayers. And so pray for our nation.